Caller, you on the air?
Yes, we are.
All right, what's up, Punch, man?
How you doing? How's everything, brother?
Everything was good until you said that stuff about Hudson, man. We heard you, man. We heard everything you said, though.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing but love, so you know that. Always love, brother.
Yeah, yeah. But we just wanted to remind you, we are the defending champs. So
yes, it's
been a long time that we've been able to say that. So at least let us have a...
No time like the present.
Let us have a moment.
I was gonna say, 40 years later is good, brother.
No, stop it, stop it. We ain't been there.
No time like the present. We're living in the present, man.
Oh, okay.
I followed them. I rooted for them all the way to the end, man. Had a nice ball team. I was hoping they won it all.
Nice. We appreciate it, man. We'll tell the people at the toll booth to let you back through.
So, Punch, let's talk the boxing match, man. Wait a minute, I can't hardly hear you.
You can't? All right.
No. Okay, hold on, Punch. We having some issues.
Len tried to mute you.
it wasn't feeling all that.
Yeah.
He said too much Hudson talk.
Punch, go a little bit louder, Len. Okay. Go ahead, Punch.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. Good, so you want me to talk a little bit about the upcoming bout?
Yeah, first of all, I want to talk to you about... How long have you been in boxing as far as are you in the promoting or are you just a manager?
No, I'm in the management side of it right now.
Okay.
We're working with a promoter right now that's helping us out a lot, getting everything up and running. Alvin and I and Greg's here too, his trainer, we've been together for about a year. So, you know, Alvin, we met down in Florida. Alvin's from Louisiana, and he came up to Catskill to get the custom model style. Train out of the gym, and he's been here living in Catskill for over a year now.
Okay. So what, I mean, besides the obvious, what made you think, I mean, with the whole custom model gym and stuff, what made you think that to bring back boxing to Catskill? I mean, it belongs there, but what gave you that push? Is this guy that good of a fighter?
Yeah, well, Alvin did give us that push. I mean, Alvin right now is currently 8-0, and he's got 7 knockouts. He's built similar to Mike. I mean, we're never going to compare anybody to a great fighter like Mike, but he has that potential to be great and do it on his own. But he's got, you know, on a shorter stature as far as about 5'9", you know, got that strong build, and he's a knockout artist. He moves his head well. He's got the same style down that custom model taught Greg Young, who's now teaching Alvin.
Okay.
He had similarities when he first got here, but his skills just got honed in. He works hard on it every day, and he's getting better each and every day. And he's a very exciting fighter to watch. You'll see that on April 23rd. He gets right in there and go for it, you know?
So tell us about putting this whole card together and what went into you guys putting this thing to bring it back to Catskill.
Well, the gym has always been there, and over the last 30 years since Mike pretty much has been gone, it's been active but not as active as we would like. So once Alvin got back here, we have other amateur fighters that are in the gym. Once they started training and Alvin continued to fight, we was like, you know, what better than the present that he's getting local popularity to bring a fight back to Catskill to get the, you know, the local people involved. And I also knew that you had the three fighters over there in Hudson, which is Black, Tommaso, and LeBron. So it was like, you know, we all can get together in a, you know, for common cause in this community and get a nice fight card together and let the people in the area come out and root them on and support them and build the boxing back up. You know, this is these guys' profession. They work hard at it every day. Why not show their talents off?
How long has Alvin been pro?
Well, I've been pro for about 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a crazy question, but how many amateur fights did you have before you actually went pro?
No, that's not really a crazy question, but I had 23.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I had 2 losses, and I had 19 knockouts.
19 but, knockouts.
You know, that's a small amateur career compared to, you know, some fighters, like, especially you guys from New York. You know, some of these guys they'll start fighting at 7 years old, 8 years old, you know, but I just feel like I was so eager to learn, you know. I wanted to excel, you know, so therefore I excel faster, you know, because I had won a USA Nationals in 2012,
okay.
And I was ranked number 1 in the nation in the senior division. So, you know, it's all about uh, it's all about your ability to, you know, pick up things fast. I feel like I started off boxing at 16. You know, I was kind of mature, you know, than you know, the average, like starting off at 7 years old or something like that.
I wanted to ask you, what brought you to boxing? Like, you said you started at 16. I was going to ask you how old. But what brought you to boxing? What gave you that feeling that made you think, like, this is something I could do for a living?
I wanted to follow in my father's footsteps. You know, he was a football player. He played running back. You know, he was really good, actually, you know. And I wasn't getting any letters, you know, my junior year. You know, they were moving me around. I went from playing linebacker. I wanted to play running back like my dad. But I went from playing linebacker to nose guard to even, you know, them trying to put me on the offensive line. When they say offensive line, I was like, I quit. I quit. You know, so, you know, I quit my junior year. Then I ran into a long-time friend of mine, Sergio, at a Mardi Gras parade, you know, and I asked him, what was he doing with his life? And he told me boxing. He took me to the gym that he was training at, and I never left, man.
I got a question, and it's going to be, it's one of our questions that we like to ask. Before you actually started boxing, what was your hand skills like in the hood? Did you grow up in the hood, or, I mean, were you a fighter and boxing just came normal, or was you just like...
Let me tell you, listen, like I was never the type of person to go out and initiate, you know, confrontation or mess with anybody. I was a laid-back type of guy, but... If you was to try, you know, if you picked with me, especially if you know put your hands on me, then I would defend myself, and I would always come up on, you know, come out on top too. You know, it's crazy because I thought that my coach didn't want me to play running back because I was kind of heavy set at the time, you know. So one Christmas I asked my dad if he could give me a punching bag for Christmas, and maybe that'd help me, you know, drop a few pounds. I was thinking, you know. But I always had hands, man. I always had hands. Now it's just so different, you know. Now, like, you know, street fighting from you actually fighting somebody that trains as well as you do, you know. Mm-hmm.
So your first pro fight, butterflies?
Oh yeah, butterflies. Tell you the truth, I always have butterflies, man. But that's what keeps you on point, you know. Like if you go into a fight and you're not nervous, then that's when you really should be. You know, that's when you really should be nervous if you're not nervous. You know, you're going to always be nervous. You know, you only get better at it in time, I feel like. You know, in time you're able to deal with it a little better.
Now, this is a question that we normally ask, like, you know, when we have, like, Mike Black and Tommaso, one of them here. When you're preparing for your opponent, do you ever go back and look at some old fight tapes to kind of gear to see if you can find a weakness in their style of fighting, or do you just 100% solely focus on your strategy and just knock it out the park that way?
You know, it's a little bit of both, but I honestly never really take too much of time into studying my opponent's videos online because I feel like a fighter, you know, he can show you one side of himself in that particular fight that you're studying. And then, you know, come fight night when you and his time to, you know, go to war. And he show you a completely different style, you know. So you got to just really train hard and just, you know, become as sharp as possible, you know. And therefore you just, you know, go out there and just be able to just be ready for whatever comes to you, you know. Whatever.
Slay?
So what are, like, some of the guys you look up to in the ring?
Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, Mike Tyson, of course, mm-hmm. Joe Lewis, you know, Joe Frazier. Those are my big time.
All the heavy hitters?
Heavy hitters, smart fighters, you know, icons in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Icons in the sport. I ain't going to say it's a game. It's a sport.
Tell us a little bit about the guy you fighting on the 23rd.
Well, I just know that he's undefeated as well. You know, he's from Kansas City, Missouri, and he's in for a rude awakening. I really don't know about the guy. Somebody's else gotta go.
Yeah. Like, you've been in Casco, I think they said like a year and a half, maybe.
That's right.
Yep. How you like living over there? I mean, it's got to be different from where you came from. I mean, when you move from your hometown to come here to be a professional, I mean, things change. How you like living in that environment? I mean, how is the city accepting you?
I mean, like, I'm not gonna say basic. Like, it's definitely like a different, you know, environment and experience. But I just try to stay focused on while I'm down here. You know, I've had the pleasure of going to the city maybe once or twice. You know, not really exploring too much of it. You know, but the town, Catskill, it's a nice town. It's quiet. I feel like it's perfect for a fighter, you know, or anybody that's competing in any type of, you know, competition, you know, because it's quiet. You know, one thing different from Louisiana, you know, like sometimes I like to go hiking out here, you know, it's beautiful scenery, the mountains and everything. So, you know, it's real peace and quiet, though. That's what I like about it, you know. Yeah.
What part of Louisiana were you from?
I grew up in Shrewsbury and Metairie. I currently stay in La Place right now.
Yeah, because, like, when we think Louisiana, I mean, I've been there before, but a friend of mine went to Xavier, the college.
Yeah, yep, that's in New Orleans, yep.
Yeah, I've been down there. But when we think of, you know, Louisiana, you think of, like, Wayne and, you know what I'm saying, and how they really, 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 like, gritty down there, how they really get it popping.
Kevin Gates, got a lot of talent out there in Louisiana, man. You know, we haven't had a champion fighter yet, though. You know, so that's what I'm looking towards, being that first. You know, I remember when my grandfather was living, you know, and the Saints won the Super Bowl. You know, he cried. You know, my grandfather cried. I saw my grandmother cry. I'm like, wow. You know, look at how these people, you know, react to a team winning, you know, winning the championship. Imagine having you know, a fighter, you know, so.
That's what's up.
I carry that on my back, too. I just want to represent, you know, not only for the world, but, of course, you know, for my hometown, my home state.
Does any of your family get a chance to come up and maybe see a fight, or, I mean?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, in the future, it'll be better, you know, but, yes, they've had the luxury of seeing me fight. Coming down here, my father has.
Okay. Nice. That's what's up. Nice. So let us talk to your trainer really quick. We're gonna come back to you and punch in a second. I want to ask your trainer some of your bad habits. Hello.
Hello.
So today is Mamba Day. Kobe's last day in the NBA. The one thing about Kobe they always said was Kobe was the first one in the gym and the last one to leave. As a trainer, you would like that. Tell us some things about Alvin and the way that he trains and the way that he works and his work ethic when it comes to this profession.
He's always interested in learning more. He's a smart fighter to begin with. Like Kyle said, you know, and Alvin, he's been successful before he came here, really, in the amateurs and as a pro. But since he's been here, you know, we've been working, you know, it's like you don't have to talk him into working. You know, he's always interested in his focus, you know, to learn things and to make things better. Because when we first started working together, we went to like the basics and, you know, started and took our time. And same thing now, like he's been going to sparring. And, you know, he's doing it with other fighters now. It starts in the gym, but, you know, he puts all the time in the gym. So that's what makes it so much easier for me. I remember I heard those words once before, Cuss said about Mike, makes it easier. But that's the thing, you know, when a person works as hard as he does and is there every day, you know, then, you know, it makes it so much easier, you know, for, you know, me. Because, you know, I just have to do my part and show up, too.
So you actually trained under Cuss?
Yeah, Teddy Atlas was my trainer.
Okay.
And so he departed in 83, and then Cuss and Kevin, you know, were there, you know, from that point on.
Yeah.
But from 1978, when I first started, I was 13 years old, Teddy was there, and he was there until I was 20, you know, in 83, he left. But I started working, and then when Cuss passed away, it was just Kevin that had, you know, he was in charge of the gym at that point.
Okay.
I mean, are we really rooting for y'all? Because I feel like all good trainers have the voice that you have where it sound like they need to gargle salt water, like the Rocky trainer voice, like, get up, Rock, like, you know, that soft, like, raspy voice, like right now I feel like I'm supposed to be running up a hill with a van behind me, like.
I just drove 4 hours Jersey back and early this morning, and then I just got back a little while ago.
That's the trainer's voice, though. I think you, like, have that voice as a baby. Like, you're just born with it. And they just say, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're like, you know.
Hey, man, y'all quit.
No. Yo, Kyle, let me talk to Kyle.
So y'all got jokes over there.
Come on, man. We're having fun.
Nah, he got the trainer voice, man.
This is how it is. I'm just saying what you thinking.
Definitely got the trainer voice.
So is this Kyle? Is Punch?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Yeah, Punch. So who's promoting the fight? I know there's some information about the young lady that's promoting the fight that you might want to get out there.
Yes, her name is Renee Aiken. She has Boss Lady Promotions, LLC. If you go online, you can get your tickets that way, or you can reach out by calling me, and I can provide the tickets for you. And I think your fighters that are over there also have tickets that they're selling, so if anyone in Hudson would like to purchase tickets at the door or online, they can. But if they reach out to one of the fighters over there, they can get tickets from them as well.
How'd you link up with the Boss Lady? How'd that work out?
It worked out because, you know, when you start moving around in boxing and you traveling, man, you start to meet people. And she was doing matchmaking, and she had been a promoter in the past. And we wanted to start doing shows. And sometimes when you hook onto a promoter, you know, they want to take their cut, and it becomes a substantial amount of money sometimes. So to keep that here, I talked her into getting her promoter's license back. And during this first fight, it's going to go at a nice discount, so that money comes back to, you know, renovations of the gym equipment and helping us move forward.
Okay. Punch, we trying to get some media passes, man.
Yep.
Word.
Yep.
I've asked Todd. Every time I ask somebody, they just act like we ain't asked them. Like, they just...
Who'd you ask, man? Because I should be the guy.
Yeah, well, we asking you now.
Well,
we asking
you.
Listen.
Look, Punch.
How many you need, man?
We need three. Three media passes. And listen, let me tell you the stipulations if we don't get the media passes. If we don't, I will live stream the fight.
Well, I think I can manage to get you guys the general admission in the upper deck of the bleacher side if you want. Not a problem.
Yeah, listen, I got a good Zoom on my phone.
I mean, Vern and I go way back, so I might be able to get him in the general premium. That's in the middle high.
He's going to get you a seat under the ring.
Listen, I appreciate you guys showing us love, and it's not a problem. I can get you guys our passes.
All right. We appreciate that.
It's big for us, man, because, like you said, when you reached out and you and Todd getting together, I mean, Todd's over here working his tail off and doing the boxing thing. You're over there doing the same thing. And even though we do have this bridge in the middle of us, the older you get, the more you tend to respect the people on the other side of that bridge.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is very important for both sides, for Hudson and Casco. And Punchy did reach out to this side. He could have went another direction. He reached out and said, listen, I want to bring Hudson in and be a part of this. So we appreciate that, too.
Absolutely, man. I never have any ill will with Hudson because when I grew up, we always won the battle.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man.
No ill will. But now that it's changing a little bit, I want to pull us together so there's no tough.
That must have been very long ago, because I don't remember Catskill winning too many battles in my day.
I was going to say, how old are you, about 19?
Nah. but thank you for that. I appreciate that for my midlife crisis.
No, they were big, man. Punchy and them, they had all the I'll say legends came from that era right there. Punchy and his squad, they were... They usually put it in. I ain't going front.
When was that? 68?
I was born then. Yeah, I was born in 68, but you know, in the 80s. But listen, I really do appreciate it, man. I just want to, like I said, I reached out to Todd, and I know how hard he's been working, and just wanted to extend the olive branch, man, and show us love. And I hope that we can continue to work hard together, and this is a success, and people get out and support it, because it can only continue to build. And as these young fighters put their, you know, guts and sweat in that ring, man. It's a dangerous sport. We have to always remember. So we have to just continue to support them, and whatever needs they have, man, we'll keep, you know, bringing them up, and we'll do it together.
Yes, Bunch, yes. Our door is open for you. Our door is open. Whenever you have anything you need to advertise, we will do it. We've been running this. We're going to continue to run it. Uh-huh. We will be there. And tell your fighter good luck, man. Matter of fact, he don't even need luck. He sound confident. And
we're rooting for him.
Yeah. We'll be there.
Yep. Yeah. Same way, man. We did some interviews, and I always make sure I mention the three young fighters over there, man, because I want to see them all be successful.
Yes,
so,
sir.
I appreciate it. And anything we could do as well, don't hesitate to reach out.
All right, Punch. Thank take you, care, boss. Man. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thank you,
yep,
man.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Yep. Have a good one. Yep.